Animals Today, your home for a serious talk about animals. I'm Dr. Lori Kirshner. Recently, an article in a prestigious medical journal caught our attention when it invoked a time travel argument in support of the value of its new experimental mouse. The authors, in so many words, stated that if we had their new modified mouse 20 years ago, then 5 deaths would have been avoided in a hepatitis drug trial on humans. Now, to discuss this article and more about the use and abuse of experimental animals in medical research, I'm pleased to welcome Dr. Ray Greek. Dr. Greek is president and co-founder of Americans for Medical Advancement, an organization that advocates for science-based medical research. Ray is co-author of the books, Animal Models in Light of Evolution, and Frequently Asked Questions about the Use of Animals in Science. Welcome to the program, Ray.
Oh, well, thank you for having me, Lori.
Ray, briefly summarize the paper concerning the experimental mouse model.
Well, the journal the paper was published in is called PLOS Medicine, and as you stated, it is a very prestigious journal. And the article discusses a drug called fialuridine, or it's usually abbreviated FIAU. And in 1993, this drug was given to some people to treat hepatitis B. And when it was being tested in phase 2 human clinical trials, 7 out of 15 people that were given the drug developed acute liver failure. And as you stated, 5 of these people died, and 2 more required a liver transplant. So this was an extremely bad outcome for a drug. And the National Academy of Sciences recently did a retrospective analysis of FIAU, and they said that there was absolutely no animal data at the time that could have prevented this. And this is what led these authors, these scientists, to try and come up with a mouse model that would, in fact, have prevented the deaths and the liver failure.
So tell us, what issues do you take with its protocol or the author's comments?
Well, the protocol was fine. I mean, this is just a regular mouse study. They tried to invent a new mouse, which they did. Their mouse model is called the TK-Nog mouse, and it's a knockout mouse. It's a genetically modified mouse. This mouse is actually a chimera, meaning that it has some human genes in it, and they claim that their mouse has 90% of a human liver. In other words, the liver that the mouse has is 90% human and 10% mouse. And the issue that I have with their concept, not so much as their protocol, is simply the assumption that they make. And the assumption that they make is if they can make a mouse liver that is human enough, then this new mouse will work well when it comes to testing drugs for liver, for the potential to induce liver failure. And in fact, their mouse did succeed in mimicking the response of humans to FIAU. FIAU did cause liver failure in this particular mouse. And so they go on to say that this is going to revolutionize, you know, drug testing, and they now have a predictive model for liver failure and so on and so on. And that simply doesn't hold water. You can have a mouse that's 100% like a human liver, but the rest of the genes are still mouse genes, and therefore the liver is going to react like a mouse liver, not necessarily like a human liver. It may have reacted like a human liver in this one case of FIAU toxicity, but that doesn't mean that it has any predictive value for any other drugs. In other words, what they did was reverse engineer a mouse so that it would react like a human in this one case. And that's actually not that hard to do. What is difficult to do is to then engineer a mouse that reacts like humans prospectively. In other words, if you give some human, say, 19 or 20 drugs, and you know, let's say that the human reacts, however the human reacts, in order for the mouse to have predictive value, the mouse has to react the same way 90, 95, 98% of the time. And that just has never happened. And it never will happen because we understand the differences between mice and humans, namely that mice evolved to be mice and humans evolved to be humans. And they're very, very different despite having very similar genetics.
Ray, in the study, the implication is that you need live mice to host the humanized liver in order to do the toxicity study. Is that correct?
That's more or less the assumption, yes. Because we can't do this on humans, we need animals to be human surrogates. And the problem with the assumption is that animals and humans evolved to be what they are. Mice evolved to be mice, humans evolved to be humans. And even if we had 100% similarity of genes, that does not mean that our outcomes to drugs and disease are going to be similar. For example, we know that humans respond differently to drugs. For example, in the study that was done in 1993, 8 out of the 15 people tolerated the drug very well. You know, they did not die from liver disease. They did not need a liver transplant. 7 out of the 15, 5 died, 2 needed a liver transplant. So when you have human variability like this, it's kind of nonsensical to say, well, we need a mouse to predict what humans are going to do. Which humans are we talking about? Because most of the humans in the study did fine with the drug, whereas a minority of the humans, you know, died or needed a liver transplant from the drug. And that's the problem in a nutshell. If we got rid of every single drug that's on the market today that caused a really bad side effect in somebody, okay, some human, we wouldn't have any drugs. Every single drug on the market today will kill someone if it's given to the right person in the right dose.
Yeah.
So the point is that this new mouse liver, this new mouse model is being hyped way beyond the science that actually supports it. And this is a common theme in animal experimentation because a lot of people make a lot of money off this. But the press release and the actual PLOS medicine article really go way beyond what the science supports.
Well, thank you for explaining that so well. Ray, there's another very new study you pointed out to me, you also wanted to critique, is one having to do with cleft palates in dogs and the purported relationship to cleft palates in people. Please tell us about that article and what you feel its problems are.
Yeah, the second news item is similar to the first in what it mistakenly assumes. The second news item concerns a breed of dog that was recently discovered at the vet school at UC Davis, and this dog suffers from cleft palate. Now, a news release about this discovery stated that the scientist responsible for this discovery had said that, quote, they hope the discovery, which provides the first dog model for the craniofacial defect, will lead to a better understanding of cleft palate in humans, end quote. And this article was also published in the PLOS series, in this case, PLOS Genetics. Now, the notion that genes do the same thing in all species is simply false. That notion is refuted by the reality of everyday life. The fact is that animals and humans are very complex systems, and this means that a gene that causes one thing in an animal may cause something totally different in a human, and vice versa. And an example of that would be the birth defects that occur in humans called phenylketonuria. That's one birth defect, and another birth defect that's called Sanfilippo syndrome. These, we know which genes cause these birth defects in humans, and these genes are normal variants in monkeys. In other words, monkeys have these genes, and they do no harm, and they probably help the monkey do whatever it is those genes help the monkey do. In other words, they're beneficial to the monkey, but they're harmful to the humans. Now, this alone invalidates the concept that once you know what a gene does in a mouse or a monkey or a dog, you automatically know what that gene does in a human. Okay? So these genes cause no harm to monkeys, but they do cause harm to humans. And as I described earlier, the same is true for metabolizing drugs. Even different humans metabolize drugs differently. In the FIAU case, some of the humans metabolized a drug to a toxic substance that killed their liver, whereas other humans metabolized the drug to a substance that was completely harmless to them. So very, very small differences between species, and indeed very, very small differences between humans, can result in the same drug being harmful to one and beneficial to the other. And this holds true for genes and pretty much everything else in the human body. Another example of this would be the fact that humans and mice both have the gene that in mice allows them to grow a tail. Humans have the exact same gene. The reason that we don't grow a tail is because that gene is turned off during our embryogenesis or during our fetal development. So even when two species do have the same gene and it does the same thing, that does not mean that they're going to look alike or act alike or respond to drugs and diseases the same way.
Dr. Ray Greek, we've got to take a quick break. More with Dr. Ray Greek about the use and abuse of experimental animals in medical research. Don't go away.
As temperatures climb, please remember to never leave your dog in the car, not even for a minute on a warm day with the windows cracked and in the shade. The temperature inside a car can climb up in a matter of minutes, and it's enough to kill your pet. If you love your pet, leave them at home or with someone you trust. Keep them cool, comfortable, and alive. And if you see a dog or other pet in a car, you may only have a moment to save their life. Here are a couple of steps that you should remember. Make an announcement in the store or business the car is parked nearest to, and call the police department or animal control right away. Remember, it only takes a minute or two on a hot day to kill an animal left inside a car. Your swift action can save a life. Dogs are unable to cool themselves the way people can. Never leave your dog in the car, not even for a minute.
This message is sponsored by Advancing the Interests of Animals. You can check them out at aianimals.org. That's the letter A, I, animals.org.
Hi, this is Dr. Lori Kirshner from Advancing the Interests of Animals. And here are a few more ways you can be kind to animals, beginning with this. Report suspected animal abuse or neglect. If you see an underfed dog or an animal left in a car on a hot day, report it right away. You could be saving a life. Try a vegetarian diet, even just for a week. Decreasing and then stopping consumption of animals is probably the best way to show your appreciation for them and for the environment, too. Don't buy cosmetics or household products that have been tested on animals. That's easy these days. And finally, don't wear clothing made from animals. Begin by saying no to fur and gradually give up animal products like leather and wool. It's easier than you might imagine. This message is sponsored by Advancing the Interests of Animals. Please visit us at aianimals.org. That's aianimals.org.
From helping florists manage their first payroll to checking sales projections for logistics companies to showing garages how much they've been paid to pursuing leads for multinationals, Sage Software helps businesses manage. Whether it's accounting, payroll, payments, ERP, or CRM, Sage gives you the control to look forward with confidence. Visit sageconfidence.com.
When my daughter told me she was getting married this spring in Napa, my first thought was, to that guy? My second was, my allergies. That's when a friend told me about Advil Allergy. Turns out it's the only allergy medicine that relieves my itchy eyes and runny nose and has the speed and strength of Advil to tackle even my toughest allergy pain. So I could focus on the ceremony, not my allergies.
Fight even the toughest allergy symptoms with Advil Allergy, the only allergy medicine that comes with the speed and strength of Advil. Use as directed.
Your daughter just joined the band and needs an audience.
Mom, Dad, I'm ready now.
Immediately. Now is definitely not the time for a headache. That's why you want fast-acting Advil. It has fast-absorbing Advil Ion Core technology and goes to work in just minutes. Fast-acting Advil quickly relieves your toughest pain, so you don't miss a beat. Try fast-acting Advil. Find it in the white box.
Breathe it in, kid. Clean, fresh air thanks to these new air handler filters. They're more energy efficient, hold more dust, and are stronger than ever. And Granger's got over 3,000 different styles and sizes to choose from. Just ordered a new batch from Granger.com today. I love oxygen, kid. And this facility's got some great AO2. I'm breathing easier just thinking about these air handler filters. Get some today. Get it? Got it? Good. Call, click Granger.com/air handler, or stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Thank you.
We're back with Dr. Ray Greek. Ray, let's go back to progress in testing for potential drug toxicity in humans. What will we do if we don't use animals?
Well, that's a very good question, Lori. The fact of the matter is that what we have to do in order to learn whether a drug is going to adversely affect you is basically test the drug on you. And we don't have to literally give you the drug, but what we should do is expose your genes to the drug, and that is happening every day. We do not know what every single gene in the human body does, but we do know what some of the genes do. And so what we can do is we can put the gene in a little well, and then we can drop a little bit of the medication into that well, and we can see whether it turns that gene on or off. So if we're trying to turn a cancer gene off, we want to see whether the drug, in fact, does that in this little computer assay. And if we want to make sure that a side effect gene does not get turned on, we can also see what happens to your gene in that little well. And that little well is on a computer chip, and then you put the computer chip into the computer, and the computer says whether any of these 20,000 genes were turned on or turned off or remain neutral or whatever. Now that is not only Star Trek medicine, but that's actually happening today. Okay, and just as we saw in that FIAU study, half the patients responded one way, half the patients got liver failure from the drug.
Right.
So that's what we want to know. We want to know which half are you in. Are you in the half that does well with the drug? Am I in the half that does well with the drug? Every one of your listeners wants to know if he or she is going to be adversely affected by the drug. And you're not going to learn that from animal testing. You have to actually test the drug on the human in question or the genes from the human in question. And that is being done. It just needs to be done more frequently. And the way that it can be done more frequently is if society funds human-based research so that we figure out what all these genes that we have do and what the differences are between the people who responded poorly to a drug and the people who responded well to a drug. That is the way to have side effect free medicine.
Ray, how strong is the desire of journal reviewers and editors, as well as research grant agencies, to see protocols that include animal models?
They have a very strong desire to see those protocols, in part because their jobs depend on it. What you have to remember is that these journal editors and even the referees in the journals, for the most part, work for academia. And any human-based research grant that comes from NIH really doesn't help the university. The university does not profit from that grant, whereas any animal-based research grant that comes from NIH, the university will receive between a third and a half or maybe even more of the money that comes from the NIH. So if somebody has a $1 million grant, as much as 500,000 of that might go directly to the university. It won't be used in the research. It will just be free money for the university. And the university can then take that money and do anything they want to do with it. They can pay the salary of the basketball coach. They can, add a wing on to the administration building. They can do anything they want. And some of these large universities will get upwards of $100 million a year of that kind of money free from the people who do animal-based research. These same people are the referees of the journals, the editors of the journals, and so on and so on. Matter of fact, a study was done not that long ago that showed that research grants for doing human-based research received much lower scores at NIH than did animal-based research grants. So the whole system is tilted. The odds of you getting a grant if you do human-based research are not good, whereas the odds of you getting a research grant if you do animal-based research are in fact very good. And this just carries over into all aspects of the biomedical process, the scientific research. So these people do have a vested interest in it in more ways than one.
Ray, are there any advances in toxicity testing and other areas of medical research that don't use animals?
Yes, there's actually been a lot of advances. Most of the advances have been around the use of computers and around the use of computers with in vitro technology. But, you know, we don't really need a lot of advances in computer-based technology or in vitro technology. A lot of what we have right now is adequate. The problem really is that we continue to use animal models even though we know the animal models don't work. What we should be doing is either human-based research in the form of clinical research, epidemiology, genetics, genome-wide association studies, things like that, and then combining that with our new in vitro methods and our new computer methods. One thing that you hear a lot about in the news is an organ on a chip. And probably someday that will come to fruition. But again, it raises the question of, well, which organ or whose organ? Because the organ in your liver is going to respond differently than my liver. So all of these new advances need to focus on human-based research and specifically on the human that is you and the human that is me. We have to personalize this. One size does not fit all. We have to figure out what the drug will do to you as opposed to what the drug will do to me. Now, that's the future of medicine, and a lot of work is being done on that. Again, these genetic studies, these genome-wide association studies, even epidemiology studies are now including a genetic arm in the study. So that is all really, really great news, but still, we have to stop the animal testing, which doesn't work in the first place.
Well stated. In the last minute or so, Ray, do you believe there's any benefit of the use of animals in medical research in any situation?
Oh, sure. Animals can be used essentially nine ways in scientific research, and they work. They're effective in seven out of the nine ways. For example, you can use animals as a heuristic. In other words, if you're trying to figure out what a gene does, you can study what the gene does in the mouse, you can study what the gene does in the dog, and then that gives you an idea that you can then pursue in humans, okay? It may work out, it may not, but it can give you a starting point, a reference point. Now, the problem with research like that is that most people don't want to fund research on dogs just to give scientists a good idea, or maybe not even a good idea. They want predictive modalities. They want to know whether the drug is going to be toxic to them. And in those cases, animal models just don't work. But they do work in a lot of ways, just not in the ways that they're being used today, and not in what I would call the really, really important areas of biomedical research.
Thank you very much, Dr. Ray Greek, Americans for Medical Advancement. Please visit afma-curedisease.org.
All right, Lori. Well, listen, thanks so much for having me on. I enjoyed it.
If you are struggling to pay or haven't been making your student loan payments, listen carefully to this urgent alert. Have you been out of school for 10 or more years and you're still making your student loan payments? Are your student loans past due or even in default? Can't go back to school because of an old student loan problem? Fast Track Student Loans can get your student loans out of default, stop any wage garnishments, stop collection calls, and stop seizure of your tax refund. Give yourself a break. Stop the stress and get your student loan payments down to as little as $25 a month based on what you can afford to pay. One quick 10-minute call could help you solve your student loan problems. So call right now. Not available in all states. Payments may vary based on income.
800-685-0129. 800-685-0129. 800-685-0129. That's 800-685-0129.
Your daughter just joined the band and needs an audience.
Mom, Dad, I'm ready now.
Immediately. Now is definitely not the time for a headache. That's why you want fast-acting Advil. It has fast-absorbing Advil Ion Core technology and goes to work in just minutes. Fast-acting Advil quickly relieves your toughest pain, so you don't miss a beat. Try fast-acting Advil. Find it in the white box.
The 2014 Cupera features plush leather seating that will feel to your hemorrhoids like sitting on lava-hot knitting needles.
Not if you step up to relief with the power of two from Preparation H. First, use Preparation H medicated wipes to soothe as they clean. Then, Preparation H maximum strength cream to relieve pain and burning.
Now, sink into that rich upholstery. Mmm, luxurious.
Preparation H. Don't stand for hemorrhoids. Use as directed. Look for Preparation H at CVS.
Breathe it in, kid. Clean, fresh air thanks to these new air handler filters. They're more energy efficient, hold more dust, and are stronger than ever. And Grainger's got over 3,000 different styles and sizes to choose from. Just ordered a new batch from Grainger.com today. I love oxygen, kid. And this facility's got some great AO2. I'm breathing easier just thinking about these air handler filters. Get some today. Get it? Got it? Good. Call, click Grainger.com/air handler, or stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Buying a car can be a stressful experience. Well, TrueCar.com is changing car buying forever. TrueCar.com helps car buyers get rid of the fear that you might overpay. Last month, nearly 45,000 cars were sold by the TrueCar Certified Dealer Network, and TrueCar users save an average of $3,046 off MSRP. When you're ready to buy a car, just follow these three easy steps. First, go to TrueCar.com and find out what other people paid for the car you're looking for. Second, register at TrueCar.com to see upfront pricing information and lock in your savings. And the third step is simple. Just print out your TrueCar savings certificate and take it to the TrueCar certified dealer for a better, hassle-free car buying experience. Every day, TrueCar users receive negotiation-free guaranteed savings. Save time, save money, and never overpay. Visit TrueCar.com today. That's TrueCar.com. Visit today.
From helping florists manage their first payroll to checking sales projections for logistics companies to showing garages how much they've been paid to pursuing leads for multinationals, Sage Software helps businesses manage. Whether it's accounting, payroll, payments, ERP, or CRM, Sage gives you the control to look forward with confidence. Visit sageconfidence.com.
Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS that you can't pay? Call now for immediate help. 866-657-8517. At Community Tax Relief, we help consumers like you. If you take on the IRS alone, you could be facing levies, liens, even wage garnishments, personal or business tax issues. If you owe the IRS $10,000 or more, they will aggressively come after you. Protect yourself and your family today from what the IRS can do to you. Call now. 866-657-8517. They can freeze your bank account, even garnish your wages. Our expert team of tax professionals can solve your tax problems once and for all. Call now for a free 5-minute tax debt analysis. 866-657-8517. 866-657-8517. 866-657-8517.
With this now, we are pleased to welcome L.A. City Council member Paul Koretz with news on the recently enacted ban on the use of bullhooks in the city. Paul is a longtime advocate for animals, and last year about this time, Paul joined us to discuss restrictions on the sale of purpose-bred pets in Los Angeles. Welcome to the program, Paul.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So the so-called bullhooks used in elephant training and performances, describe bullhooks and how they are used.
Well, they're a metal rod with a couple places that are very sharp and painful, and elephants have very sensitive skin, and they're used, in my view, to hit the elephant and inflict significant pain and break them in training and then keep them in line and dominated during their performance lifetime.
Paul, what's the background on how and why Los Angeles became interested in these devices specifically?
Well, I was informed of some of these bad practices by an animal welfare advocate and friend, and I started looking into it. I walked with the animals 1 year with the elephants and other animals from the train station to Staples Center. I saw some video that was incredibly disturbing, which I played at the council meeting the day of the vote on the issue and also in committee, showing elephants just being routinely whacked one after another down the line, and a trainer saying, if you can't whack these elephants until they scream, you don't belong here. That was really enough for me. It's very clear that it's a very cruel practice, and that's really the only way they seem to be able to train and maintain elephants in the circus.
Who wrote the current legislation, and what does it state?
Well, I wrote the legislation, and we considered various steps, but the one we ultimately approved was a ban on the use of bull hooks with a three-year phase-in period. So in 3 years, circuses with elephants in all likelihood will not be able to perform in Los Angeles unless they find a non-cruel way to do it, which seems to be not possible.
Yeah, that's so great, Paul. Who supported the law and who opposed it?
Well, as it turned out on the council, much to my surprise, because when this started, we questioned whether we had a majority. It was unanimously voted for by the council. The main opposition was AEG and Staples Center because, at least for a time, they will lose business. Some of the labor unions that are directly affected, the Teamsters, which have some drivers from St. Louis to drive the elephants around, some IATSE and hotel and restaurant workers who work the concessions and set up the stages, they all would be somewhat impacted. And that's a large part of why we had the three-year phase-in. So any facility that had circuses involving elephants and bullhooks would have the time to replace those acts, or those circuses would have the time to eliminate elephants or their mistreatment from their performances.
And that's really our goal, isn't it, Paul, to just not use elephants when we have circuses, right? I mean,
ultimately, that is the goal. And, I mean, personally, I think all exotic animals should be eliminated from circuses. But I think trying to do that now as a first step wasn't practical because I think there's much more education and awareness of how elephants are mistreated. I think trying to make the further argument would have been too much of a reach. But the goal
right.
is not just to keep them out of Los Angeles, which, while it's a nice first step, really is not going to accomplish much. It just means they go to Inglewood or Santa Ana or wherever the next closest place is. When we really have the impact is when 20 or 30 major cities have followed our example, and it starts to become impractical for a show like Ringling Brothers to continue traveling around using elephants and using bull hooks to maintain them.
Right, and it definitely is a good first step. It, like you said, it's going to be hard for elephants to participate in circuses without the use of the bull hooks here. I guess the only difference is instead of the three-year phase-in period, I would have urged you to do a three-month or one-year phase-in period. But
well, the thing, you know, there's been some controversy about that, and I think what I'm trying to get across to people is that I wouldn't have done it except that I think when it goes into effect is actually meaningless. Because whether we do it the next year that Ringling Brothers would come to town or 3 years from now, it's not going to have any impact on the elephants themselves. Or the act or anything else. They'll just go on to the next city. They'll just skip L.A. They'll just reschedule their time. But what makes a difference is when is really the symbolic fact that we've done it and other places are looking at it and saying, well, L.A. did it. It's time for us to do it. And there is no impact locally. Honestly, we do nothing for the elephants. So it's only when everybody's doing it that it matters, and that's not going to happen in the next 3 years. So really, while people felt that we're harming the elephants and making them endure cruel practices for an extra 3 years, really all we're doing is we're allowing them to perform at Staples instead of the Inglewood Forum. It's only when the next place is down the road, you know, up and down the state and at least the West Coast have adopted it, that it really has the impact.
I mean, no,
if
you're
I thought
correct.
It had any impact on the animals themselves, I wouldn't have done the extension. I actually thought the 3 years was a good idea because we're not trying to take away business from Staples Center. We're only trying to help the elephants. And really, I don't believe there's any difference in the impact on them for the 3 year phase then.
Paul, I want you to respond to the statement. Stephen Payne, Vice President of Field Entertainment, parent company of Ringling Brothers Circus, said, quote, "We've been taking care of exotic animals, including Asian elephants, for almost 144 years. We really, really are proud of the animal care we provide. Sadly, this ordinance before the city council, we feel, is just being driven by a small, vocal group of animal rights activists who are against animals and entertainment, whether they're elephants or any other animal."
Well, I don't know about small group. I would include myself among the people that he's talking about. So it's not just activists; it's also decision makers on the city council. Would we like to eliminate all exotic animals in the circus? I probably would, because I think just the process of constantly living on trains and in constant movement and the cruelty of their training.
And how they got the elephants and how they got the animals.
Oh, and when they first get the elephants in the wild, a lot of baby elephants are absolutely tortured, especially in Africa or Asia where they get them in the first place. There's nothing positive about it in terms of the experience for the animals. So I would say it doesn't mean that I wouldn't like to see tigers out of the circus, too. I think we just recognize that elephants are mistreated the most, and there's the most awareness of it. But I would say in 20 years, it's likely that circuses won't have any exotic animals.
Do the citizens of L.A. strongly support this legislation?
I believe they do. I mean, I've had a few people complain that their kids won't be able to see elephants in the circus, but I think by and large people understand the cruelty and
good.
You know, I'm not getting people complaining. I've had controversial issues where some of my constituents complain. We did a ban on plastic bags to save the resources that 2 billion plastic bags a year handed out at supermarkets would save. And we got some people complaining that they didn't want to lose their free plastic bags. But I'm not getting a lot of people complaining that, you know, oh, I don't that we're going to lose elephants in the circus. I don't think there's
LA council member Paul Koretz, you are a great friend to animals. Thank you for coming on the show. After the break, people are dying of resistant bacterial infections. Why are antibiotics failing us? Yes, it's an animal story and a big one. Are you ready, Peter?
Looking for a shed tow. 21 roof and one will do. I don't want to buy it. I just want to rent it for an hour or two.
We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Dr. Lori Kirshner, and I want to thank you for listening to Animals Today. Make sure to visit us on animalstodayradio.com, where you will see all our previous shows, and you can download them free. That's animalstodayradio.com. Also, make sure to become a friend on Facebook. Animals Today gets a lot of its support from the nonprofit group Advancing the Interests of Animals. Check them out at aianimals.org. And I hope you'll consider making a donation to help pay for the ongoing broadcast of Animals Today. Each week on Animals Today, we strive to bring you the highest quality, most up-to-date information about all animal welfare topics, and we certainly would appreciate your support. That website again is aianimals.org. And thanks for listening.
That's the sound of a dog whose vocal cords were cut just to stifle her voice. It's called devocalization, and it's done to cats as well. Devocalized animals rasp and wheeze, cough and gag the rest of their lives. Some are rendered mute. And for what? So a commercial or hobby breeder can keep many animals without having to listen to them. So show dogs will be quiet in transit between shows or in the ring. So an irresponsible pet owner can leave a dog alone for hours every day. Animals Today joins with Coalition to Protect and Rescue Pets in saying shame on anyone who would have a dog or cat devocalized, and shame on the vets who perform this inhumane, unnecessary surgery for them. Please speak out against devocalization of dogs and cats. Use your voice. Protect theirs.
This message is sponsored by Advancing the Interests of Animals. You can check them out at aianimals.org.
Buying a car can be a stressful experience. Well, TrueCar.com is changing car buying forever. TrueCar.com helps car buyers get rid of the fear that you might overpay. Last month, nearly 45,000 cars were sold by the TrueCar Certified Dealer Network, and TrueCar users save an average of $3,046 off MSRP. When you're ready to buy a car, just follow these three easy steps. First, go to TrueCar.com and find out what other people paid for the car you're looking for. Second, register at TrueCar.com to see upfront pricing information and lock in your savings. And the third step is simple. Just print out your TrueCar savings certificate and take it to the TrueCar certified dealer for a better, hassle-free car buying experience. Every day, TrueCar users receive negotiation-free guaranteed savings. Save time, save money, and never overpay. Visit TrueCar.com today. That's TrueCar.com. Visit today.
Little Jack Horner sat in a corner of his ransacked apartment, wondering what kind of nitwit steals a futon. Luckily, the Geico Insurance Agency had helped him with renter's insurance, and he got full replacement. Unfortunately, little Jack Horner had to have his stomach pumped when he ate a six-month-old Christmas pie. Visit geico.com to see how affordable renter's insurance can be.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370. 800-605-5370. Call 800-605-5370.
Inventory isn't about products, kid. It's about money. Products sitting on shelves is money sitting on shelves. I hate overstock. I hate understock. I hate wasting time. I hate wasting money. That's why I love Grainger. Grainger KeepStock solutions help us manage our facility's inventory so we have exactly what we need when we need it. No more, no less. It's inventory management my way. Get it? Got it? Good. Visit Grainger.com/KeepStock for more information. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back, Animals Today. Lori, got a couple of updates for you.
Oh, good.
The San Diego County Board of Supervisors, this is a little ORCA update, right? They
right.
have voted 3-1 to oppose the recently introduced legislation that would ban SeaWorld San Diego from featuring orcas in their shows. So they're taking a stand against the legislation in San Diego.
Of course, that's expected.
Yes. One of the supervisors, Ron Roberts, said, "While I understand the emotions behind this bill, emotions are a poor way to create policy, especially when dealing with a local employer that will provide jobs directly for 4,500 of our friends and neighbors while drawing over 4.5 million visitors through its gates." So that's the logic that's being employed, that this legislation would just shut down the whole industry, which is, we know, the most ridiculous thing, right?
It is, yes.
So, but that's where they're going on this. And he further went on that the proposal threatened to greatly diminish SeaWorld's ability to contribute to our community. So that's the next chapter there. This is in research right now, and we'll hear more about this next year.
Okay. It's always ongoing there.
Yes. Back to the UK. Did you know that this week it's the annual anti-vivisection week? This is the what they really call it is the annual lab animal week.
Okay.
Let's get the terminology correct here.
And right.
So this is led by the National Anti-Vivisection Society, NAVS, right, which is the biggest UK organization that looks at animal testing. And this has been going on for 35 years, okay, to have yearly commemoration. This year, they are pointing to Air France and asking people to boycott Air France because they're the last major passenger airline that continues to inhumanely ship monkeys to cruel animal laboratories.
Okay, that's reasonable.
Reasonable. Jan Kramer says Air France is the only major passenger airline that continues to support the cruel lab monkey trade, flying thousands of monkeys to their deaths each year. Monkey experiments are cruel, unreliable, and outdated. Please help monkeys this Lab Animal Week by refusing to fly with Air France and let them know why.
Okay.
Okay.
I support that.
Yes.
Boycott Air France.
You boycott all airlines, wouldn't you? Okay. Binks. More news regarding the Non-Human Rights Project, okay, led by Harvard Law Professor Steve Wise. That has received significant coverage recently by the New York Times, as the lawsuits on behalf of four chimps in New York, these are the plaintiffs, they went through the first round and now they are going up the legal chain. And the New York Times has a big magazine cover story article titled, "Should a Chimp Be Able to Sue Its Owner?" Okay. Also, there is what they call an op-doc video, which is an opinionated documentary, a short documentary, which you can watch online that talks about the Non-Human Rights Project and Mr. Wise and this decades-long journey to come to this point where he is trying to increase the rights for non-human animals. So we've covered him, just to remind the viewers, December 22nd, 2013, on our show there. You can go to the archives and listen to more about the Non-Human Rights Project, and also January 20th, 2013, he was on. So we'll keep you updated on that. It's very interesting that the New York Times is taking this on in a big way. So
yeah.
Congratulations to them.
Yeah.
In New Hampshire, K through 12 students in New Hampshire are going to benefit from a new student choice policy. This involves whether students are required to have to participate in animal dissection activities, either animal dissection or vivisection. And now the students in New Hampshire have a right to not participate in any animal dissection for any reason at all.
Great.
And they're not allowed to be penalized, and the school must provide an alternative activity to teach the relevant material, and the teachers have to consider all the use of appropriate and comparable learning materials, and so on and so on.
Oh, I love that.
So still there are lots more states that have to adopt this. There are 36 more states that need to adopt this sort of thing, but this is a real nice step for the New Hampshire Department of Education. I'm sure the frogs are very happy also, and all those other animals.
Do you remember when you were a youngster that you had to dissect frogs and other animals in your science classes?
I remember the frog particularly.
Me too.
Yeah. So
it bothered me so much. And what did we learn from that? Come on.
I know.
Anything?
Just the smell.
Right. I remember the smell. That's the one thing we remember.
And finally, two workers have been convicted, workers in a dairy farm have been convicted of beating and stabbing cows. They're going to have to pay $2,000. They were found with undercover video and pled no contest, and a couple more cases are pending. So another victory for the ability to film undercover,
which the ag gag laws want to
prevent.
Right.
So
you know, it's terrible what's going on.
Yeah.
I mean,
well,
these animals have to endure enough to then be tortured and beaten and stabbed
and the videos
prior to being killed.
I know. Give them a break.
The
videos are so powerful, and you just depict this depravity and this just horrible acts done by these. By these workers, it must be a horrible job. I mean, who'd want to do it? But still, you know, give them a break. Stabbing.
Yeah.
It's not in the protocol.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Just terrible.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Peter.
You're welcome.
So Animals Today is sponsored by AIA, Advancing the Interests of Animals. Check them out at AIAnimals.org. And if you like what you hear and want to support Animals Today, your tax-deductible donation of any size is very much appreciated. Also, each and every one of our shows, after being broadcast, are archived on our website, animalstodayradio.com. So you can listen to any of our past shows, which you will find right on the website, and we encourage you to share them with your friends and family. Again, the website is animalstodayradio.com, and the organization that supports this wonderful educational show is Advancing the Interests of Animals, AIAnimals.org. Thank you very much for tuning in. This is Dr. Lori Kirshner encouraging you to nurture your love and compassion for the only other beings sharing our planet, the animals.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or service. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com.
I'm Precious Watson. U.S. President Barack Obama on Sunday said the United States and Europe must join forces to impose sanctions on Russia to stop it from destabilizing Ukraine, where armed pro-Russian separatists were for a third day holding eight international observers.